The new man is proclaimed to be a lively, active, healthy, disciplined youngster who subordinated himself to the collective and is prepared and dedicated to learn, study, and work. This message could be claimed by many youth organizations in the totalitarian regimes of the 1930s, however it belongs to the Communist Youth League or the Komsomol. The Komsomol was one of three large Soviet youth groups delineated based on age. Children aged 7 to 9 were a part of the Little Octobrists, children 10 to 15 belonged to the Young Pioneers, and youth aged 15 to 28 were members of the Komsomol. The Komsomol was created in 1917 and became closely affiliated with the state throughout the 1920s, serving as an important consensus builder in youth as well as assisting the state in promoting communist policies and developing the next Soviet leaders. The Komsomol played an important role in Soviet youth development, as throughout the 1930s, membership became imperative for professional and educational advancement for Soviet youth. While the facts of the Komsomol do not spark much debate, the question of whether the Komsomol was successful in shaping Soviet youth identities and creating future generations of Soviets has been interpreted differently by historians. Soviet historiography can be broken into three main categories: totalitarian, revisionist, and post-revisionist. Totalitarian scholars such as Ralph Fisher wrote in the 1950s, examining the political structure of the Komsomol, focusing on prolific leaders as the main proponents of change in the Soviet Union. Fisher relied on official proceedings of Komsomol congresses to develop an understanding of how the Komsomol operated, and saw the Komsomol as a successful institution that mobilized youth and developed in them a love for work. Scholars such as Peter Reshetov and V. Skrilatov wrote to understand the values, goals, and plans of Soviet youth, finding that youth were a group of ambitious, socialist individuals who viewed the Komsomol as a good outlet for solving problems and were generally happy with the level of youth representation in their group. Revisionist historians such as Jim Riordan and Isabel Tirado countered the overarching view of the Komsomol as being a monolithic, successful institution in shaping youth culture and identity, and recognized that the excessively bureaucratic, party-affiliated Komsomol did not meet the needs of all youth in the Soviet Union, and many alternative sources of youth culture began to emerge. Additionally, these scholars examined the nature of the relationship between the Komsomol and youth, finding that in many cases, party leadership responded to the wishes of the youth, creating change from the bottom up through the organization. Post-revisionist scholars have challenged this view, as well as directed attention to other facets of Soviet youth. Scholars such as Hillary Pilkington addressed alternative youth cultures, such as those interested in rock and roll, punk music, and motorbike riding, as examples of how the Komsomol did not meet the needs of all youth, as many turned away from state-sponsored organizations towards more Western influence and found identity there. In recent years, with advancements in the development of children's history, scholars such as Julie DeGraffenried and Olga Kucherenko have begun to delve into the experiences of younger children, focusing on the children of the World War II generation. They found that the pioneer organization was extremely effective in shaping the identity of the children of this generation, who were inspired by the militant patriotism and state propaganda of World War II. While the Soviet youth historiography is varied, there is still room for growth. Children's history is a relatively new field, and extensive study could be done examining generations outside of World War II, as well as combining study of the Komsomol with younger youth organizations and viewing how youth identity changes as youth move from one group to another.